St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome that I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Today is the fifth of 14 Sundays on which we are reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, and today we pick up not far from where we ended last Sunday. Recall that last week was a meditation on deliverance from slavery to sin, which requires that those who are baptized into Christ put to death whatever in our hearts and minds is contrary to the gospel, so that we may live by the Spirit of God who dwells within us through holy baptism. Then between last Sunday's reading and today's, there are three verses on the grace of adoption given in baptism, by which St. Paul says we are made children of God, members of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. But, Paul insists, this grace of adoption requires that we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with him. And that's where we pick up today. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. St. Paul never attempted to hide from the disciples of Christ that being a Christian always demands a willingness to suffer, both in the struggle to die to self and from the contempt for our faith, which we may experience from those who do not yet know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, to encourage the Christians in Rome to keep calm and carry on in the midst of their struggles, Paul wrote to them that the glory which will be revealed on the last day so far surpasses the sufferings of our time, this present age, that there can be no comparison. And friends, there is more here than good advice. There is good news, gospel truth. Paul writes, "For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God." So the entire universe awaits the revelation of its freedom with eager expectation. And where will the cosmos find this revelation of its redemption? From the children of God, from those born again by water and the Holy Spirit in baptism, from those set free from slavery to sin and death by God's grace through supernatural faith, from those redeemed from the grave by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one essential part of the Christian vocation, to bear witness that the coming new creation is the end of all futility and the beginning of perfect freedom. But what exactly is this futility for which the life of grace is the cure? Well, it is the destruction of death. Everything we build decays and dissolves. All beauty fades and is lost. All glory passes and is forgotten. Every life ends in death. Everything ever accomplished by the entire human race will be destroyed. And even the universe itself, with all its hundreds of billions of galaxies, will wither and die. And that, friends, is the true depth of emptiness, which is why creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, for creation was made subject to futility in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Then Paul continues, "We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Here the apostle uses the image of a woman gasping in labor pains and groaning from the ordeal of giving birth, yet full of hope and love because of the promise of the child to come. But in this case, what will be delivered through labor pains is not a child, but a new universe, a new heavens and a new earth, an entire cosmos restored by God to its original purpose and glory, a cosmos without corruption and futility, a creation without death, in which all things have been made new and eternal by the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Word made flesh, the Lamb once slain who lives forever. Last week, I spoke of the oldest argument in human history. The serpent promised our first parents before their fall from grace that they would find perfect happiness and divine glory in self-assertion. While the divine word of God reveals that we find perfect happiness and divine glory in self-sacrifice. And as we read today in the first lesson from Isaiah, the word of God never fails in its mission, but always achieves the purpose for which it is sent. And in the fullness of time, that divine word became flesh in the womb of a virgin to accomplish our redemption. In today's second lesson, we find the Apostle Paul explaining this cosmic dimension of the serpent's lie. And as we have seen, Paul likens the universe to a pregnant woman groaning in labor pains. This language is redolent of the woman in labor pains described in the book of Revelation as being clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. She, of course, is the same woman described in Genesis 3:15, the woman whose obedience of faith untied the knot of Eve's disobedience, of which we are all heirs, the woman whose son would crush the serpent's head and triumph over sin and death to deliver us from the ancient enemy who is our accuser, a murderer, and the father of lies. And that woman in both Genesis and Revelation, at the open and close of the Bible, is Mary, the mother of God and the mother of the church. In today's short passage from the letter to the Romans, we glimpse a small part of the cosmic struggle to be liberated from slavery to sin and death and to find the freedom of the children of God. And the gospel reveals that the perfect freedom for which we long is paradoxically found not in radical autonomy, but in loving obedience, the obedience of faith in which Mary is both exemplar and intercessor. We know that in this present age, even those who already have the grace of adoption in holy baptism still groan inwardly, as Paul puts it, as we wait for our final redemption and the resurrection of our bodies at the last day. And yes, following the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross is painful and requires us to suffer from the struggle to put to death in ourselves whatever is contrary to the gospel. But that struggle should never discourage us, because the suffering we endure cannot be compared to the glory to be revealed. As Mary herself learned at the foot of the cross and in the glory of the resurrection. The gospel today contains the parable of the sower, in which the Lord Jesus freely acknowledges how hard it is for us to hear and heed the word of God. In his parable and in his private explanation to the 12, Christ explains the difficulty of remaining faithful to the gospel while we endure tribulation, temptation, persecution, the lure of pleasure, and doubts about the truth of the word of God. But we must have no doubt of what we will find on the far side of that struggle, because Christ himself is both the sower of the word of God and the seed which is sown in our hearts and minds. The Lord Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Friends, all creation awaits with eager anticipation the revelation of the living and active Word of God, so that by the obedience of faith in that Word, the whole human race can be set free from slavery to sin, death, and the futility of corruption, and then rise to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. The Blessed Virgin Mary is our pattern and guide in this work of surrendering our lives to her Son, surrendering to him in faith, hope, and love. And living the gospel with integrity and joy is how we announce to others that the whole universe, along with everyone and everything in it, will find redemption at the end of days, but only in the eternal Word made flesh, the Son of Mary and God the Son, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Lord Jesus Christ.